Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shari. Chodesh Tov Ta'al, Ge'en Chodesh. We are learning the Yidui Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmas of Miriam Fran, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. May her neshama have a continuous aliyah on the schus of the Torah that we will share this evening. We also thank her family very much for their commitment and dedication to the Harbatza Satorah. Excuse me, every week from this shir and the chizuk and emuna that I hope that I derive, and I hope that my Zoom listeners and online listeners derive as well. It should be a chus for her aliyah neshama. So I'm finally getting to the medrash that I keep talking about, that Hashem had other plans and other inyani diyoma came up. And tonight I want to address a medrash, actually two pieces from Medrash Bereishis Rabbah that is really, really relevant, I'm sorry, to the topic that we've been exploring over the past few weeks, which is this idea of how to address suffering. It is a particularly, we went from the Meron disaster, Hashem Yirachem Aleinu, which I'm sure some of you like me read about over the weekend, more details of the victims and their lives, and still very fresh and very, very painful in all of our minds. And now Eretz Yisrael has been plunged into crisis. There have been niftarim, there have been losses. There are balloon fires in the south. Lod has been, they called it Kristallnacht in Lod, with the Arabs rioting in solidarity with the Palestinians in East Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip. An IDF soldier was killed today, 21 years old. Fires in the south, rioting, near lynchings. Eretz Yisrael has gone into a very difficult situation. And so the topic of suffering in this world continues to be relevant. So I want to go into Medrash Bereishis Rabbah with you. Parsha Lamed Beis Siman Gimel. I'm actually going to screen share. I have my Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, which I prepared from right here, but I think it might be easier for you to see the screen. So here I go. And here it is. Okay, could you see my screen? Okay, very good. So I'm going to be going through this with you, with the translation and the art scroll footnotes as well. Okay, so the Pasuk says in a Sefer Tehillim, Perek Yud-Aleph, Pasuk Hey, Kisiv, Hashem Tzadik Yivchan, Hashem tests, like Bechina, Hashem tests the righteous one, V'Rasha, and the wicked one, V'Ohev Chamas, and he who hates robbery, Chamas is really robbery, is that ours? Yeah, V'Ohev Chamas, and he who loves robbery, son anafsho, Hashem's soul, Kaviyachal hates. So Hashem tests the righteous, and he who is wicked, and he who loves robbery, God detests. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yonasan says, Hayotzer haza, this fashioner, this creator, Einu bodek kankanim me'orarim. This fashioner, this potter, it's translated as a potter, does not examine the weak flasks. If he has weak jars, he's not going to examine them. She'enu maspik lakush aleim achas adshu shavram. If he just knocks them one time, he has a potter, has weak flasks or weak pottery. If he knocks into them even one time, they will break. Umihu bodek, and therefore, who does the potter test to see the durability of his wares? Bekan kanim yafim. He's going to test the wonderful vases and the strong flasks that he had made. Afilu mekish aleim kama pa'amim einam nishburim. Even if he hits them many times, multiple times, they will not break. Kach ein hakadosh baruch hu minasa es harishaim, ela es hatzadikim. So too, Hashem does not test the wicked, he only tests the righteous. Shana Amar, like the Pasuk says, Hashem Tzadik Yivchan, which is how the Medrash began with the Pasuk from Tehillim, Hashem tests the righteous. But he who is wicked and he who loves robbery, God's soul despises. So the first example here in the Medrash is that Hashem, when you have a potter, it's a mashal, when you have a potter and he makes clay vessels, he's not going to test the vessels that are weak, because if he even hits them one time, they will break. So who is he going to test? The vessels that are strong. He could hit them a few times and they won't break. Okay, so the art scroll footnote notes, accordingly, the connotation is that while God examines the righteous, he despises the wicked, deeming them unfit for examination. So when the Pasuk says, which is the Medrash is expanding upon, Hashem Yatzi Tzadik Yivchan, think about a teacher in a classroom whose students are beloved. So you want those students to be tested and excel in their test. It shows you that they know the material. It shows you they were listening. It shows you they're interested in the learning. It shows you they absorbed what has been learned. But the student who is sitting in the class, who is, don't draw a parallel with any of our students today. That's not what I mean, okay? But the Rasha, the one who puts in no effort, the one who shows no interest, it's a mashal, don't panic. You're not interested in testing him because you know that he won't prove himself. Who do you actually want to test? The star student. The stronger student, the kankanim yafim, the harsh, the pottery that's durable, that's who you want to test because you want to prove that he really is a good student. You want to prove he's a tzaddik, and that is who you test. The Maharzu, going back to the art school footnote, and the Eitz Yosef, posit, posit, propose, yeah, that the potter does not test his wares for his own sake. The experienced potter can determine by observation which vessels are strong and which are flimsy. So what's the purpose of the test? It's not for the sake of the potter. He knows from many years of experience which one's going to be good and which one's not going to be good. Rather, he will test them in front of potential customers to demonstrate their quality and durability. So customers come into the store and they say, which are your kankanim yafim? He's not going to pick up the kankanim mera'im, the cursed ones, the bad ones, the weak ones, because he knows they're going to pick it up and it's going to shatter all over. He's going to pick up the good ones, the harsh ones, to show the customers, I could give this a clap. Your kid could bang this vase on the granite counter and it's not even going to crack. You want to show the customer how good the vase is. So he doesn't test the righteous for his own sake, but in order to publicly demonstrate their righteousness so people will understand why they enjoy God's favor. So that's the first example of the Medrash here, a potter with his wares. But the footnote has says that he tests the wares to show the customers how strong is. Of course, this is a mashal for our suffering in life. I heard Rabbi Shai Shechter say that the Gezerah of Meirod was not a Gezerah on 45 families. It was a gezeira against every single member of Knesset Yisrael. It was a national tragedy. And today, when we look at the goings on in Eretz Yisrael, in dismay, what's the word? In pain, I don't know what the word is. So we shouldn't think, oh, that's over there, and this has nothing to do with me. It's my brothers, it's my sisters. Of course it has what to do with me. So who does Hashem test, says the Medrash? He hits the righteous to prove to the customers how durable they are. They don't fall apart under pressure. I'm sure by now you have seen the video of the father of the two, one of the fathers of the two brothers who were killed in Meron, who was saying that he spent Shabbos in the hospital from his injuries, Shabbos before last, the day after the disaster. And he said the whole night he was just davening. He was asking Hashem for one thing. I'm sure you saw, I was in Ivri. Hashem, don't let me lose my emuna. Hashem, don't let me lose my emuna. So the Midrash says that a potter will hit the strong ones to prove they're strong. The weak ones are going to fall apart. It's like the teacher, you're not interested in giving the Rasha student, excuse me, a test because you know they can't prove themselves. But what nachas do you have when your Pri student does well? It's such a nachas because you know that child is interested, that child is learning. That child proves how much devotion they have to you and their subject. That's us vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem tzaddik yivchan. Ukasiv, and the Pashuk says, V'alukim nisas Avraham. So the Medrash relates this to who? Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was so strong. Avraham Avinu found the Ribbono Shel Olam. Some say the age of 3, some say the age of 40. Rambam, some say the age of 43. Avraham Avinu found the Ribbono Shel Olam. And at the end of his life, he's an old man and the son he waited so long for. Vayi achar dvar me'ila, v'alokim nisas Avraham. Kachnes bincha, sichidcha, sharahaptas, yitzchak, v'lachacha, aratz ha-maria, acharim ha-sharaka. You know the son you waited so long for, shechtem. What? What are you doing? The Medrash quotes this pasuk: Elokim nisas Avraham. Hashem wanted to show how strong Avraham was. Amar Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina. Now a second example of the Medrash. Amar Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina. Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina says, "Hapishtani hazeh. Pishtan is flax. Oops, I did not mean to do that. One second. I was trying to highlight the words, and that's what happened. I didn't want to do that. Okay, one second. Sorry, everyone's going all over the place. One second. Where was I up to? Okay. Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina, ha-pishtani hazeh, this flax maker, b'sha'a shehu yodeh sha-ha-pishtin shelo yafa, at the time a flax worker, it's translated by Baruch goes flax worker, flax maker, flax worker, at the time when he knows that his flax is nice, sha-yafa, it's of high quality, it's a wonderful flax, kol shehu kosisha, he mishtabachas. The more that he pounds it, the more it improves from shavach. Mishtabachat, the more it improves in its quality, the more he pounds the flax, the more it improves in its quality. And I wrote a footnote here. I looked it up online. Beating the flax is one of the steps to processing flax into linen. So it improves the flax. You need to beat it. Think of dough. I made challah today. Think of dough. You have to mush it and knead it and pound it and it's rising too much and punch it back down. What are you doing? You're punching the dough? Think about it. You're punching it in, make it better. So hapishtan, so Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yossi bechanina, hapishtani azeh, this flax worker, b'sha'a shehu yodeh shapishtan shelo yafa, at the time that he knows that his flax is of good quality, kol shehu kosisha, the more he beats it and hits it, he mishtabachas, the more he pounds it, the more it improves, the more shavach it will have, because man shehu makisha leha, he mishtamenes, and the more he beats against it, the better it becomes. The Art Scroll footnote notes, this mishtamenes is like the word shamein from the word fat. Fat meaning high quality. It is related to the word shuman meaning fat, like shaman oya fat. So the more he hits it, the fatter, i.e. the better, the more praiseworthy it becomes, the flax. And the time that he knows that his flax is bad, eino maspik lakusha leha. Achas ad shehi pokas, even one time he will beat it, and what will happen? It will break. Kach ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu minasa es harashayim ala asot tzadikim. Show it to you. Hakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bother with their shayim. They're like the broken flax, the weak flax. God's going to hit them one time. They're going to fall apart. So he'll let them have a good life, and he'll let them enjoy contentment down here. There's no point in testing them. However, the tzaddikim, they're like the good flax. The more it's hit, the more durable it becomes. Keep in mind that the Torah is given on Har Sinai. And Har Sinai is Samech Nun and then two Yuds. So two Yuds are Shem Hashem. And Samech Nun is Hashem Nisi. Hashem is my banner. Hashem is also the one who tests me. Hashem is the one who gives me my nisyonos. Part of Kabbalah Satorah is accepting that our nisyonos come from the Ribono Sha'olam. Hashem Nisi. Har Sinai. The Torah was specifically given. The Torah could have been given on any mountain. Moshe kibel Torah misinu masar li Yeshua. What's part of the Masorah? Part of the Masorah is that there's life in tests. There's tests in life. And the Rishayim are not tested. They can't withstand. Like the weak clay. Like the weak flask. Like the weak pishtan. Like the weak flask. Like the weak flax. I'm not trying to make a joke. That's the two examples of the Medrash here. Kach ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu minaseh harashayim ela aseh tzadikim shenemar. Hashem tzadik yivchan, like we saw in the pasuk. Hashem will test he who he loves, the tzadikim, the righteous one. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar gives another mashal, a third example. Okay, so the first example was a potter who tests his clay. He will only strike the strong ones. They won't break under pressure. The second example is the flax worker who beats his flax to improve it, to make it into linen. The weak flax he won't beat because he knows it'll fall apart with one patch. Hashem, don't let me lose my emuna, said that father. It was still in the Shiva. It was in the beginning of the Shiva for his two sons. And I told you that Risa Rotman writes in her book, she asks Hashem, please don't let me become bitter. And I think it's the same theme. Help us keep our emuna, despite the fact, help us become stronger, like that flask of clay. Help us become more durable, like the flax, even as we feel beaten. So hard in Eretz Yisrael. Whew. Third example. Hashem Tzadik Yivchan. Amar Rabbi Elazar. That was Rabbi Elazar. And Masha, I just want to see, is there any footnotes I want to tell you? Oh, I forgot to tell you a footnote. So the first one, the pottery, the clay, Hashem tests the pottery, the owner tests the maker, the pottery maker tests the clay for the purpose of the customers. It's to show the customers, which vessel do you want? You want the strongest vessel. So he gives a potch, he gives a klop to show the customers how strong his clay is. Hashem gives a potch to the tzaddik to show others how righteous the tzaddik is. When it comes to the flax, God's purpose in testing the righteous is for their own benefit, to bring them to higher levels of righteousness, comparable to the flax worker who pounds his flax in order to enhance quality. So even though the two mashalim seem similar, they are actually different. The clay is hit to show the customer, to show others how strong the clay is. The tzaddik is tested to show others how faithful the tzaddik is. When it comes to the flax is tested to improve the integrity, quality, and strength of the flax itself. The nisayon will strengthen you. Har Sinai, Hashem is the one who gives me my nisyonos. And now a third example that also seems similar, but actually has a different pshat. Here we go. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Mashal Labal Habayis, there's a mashal to the Baal Habayis, a homeowner. Shehayalo Shtei Paros, he had two cows. Achas Kocha Yafet, one of the cows is able to work the fields and carry the load and harness her to the plow and drinks from the trough and she's rejuvenated, she's a good cow. Like in Paro's dream, seven good cows. But to Anabahu, they're grazing in the swamp. They're Geshmak. Talk about Mishtamenes. Those are the fat cows. They're able to carry a big burden. But Achas Kochara. And then after them, I saw seven skinny cows. I never saw anything so bad in the whole land of Egypt. And I woke up. Two cows. One is very strong and one is very weak. Amihu knows Saint Esau. Who is he going to put the burden of carrying the package from his farm to, I don't know, the milking house? Who is he going to put the burden on? Lo alzosha kocha yafeh. Is it not upon the one who has good strength? The stronger cow. You're not going to put on the weak cow. Kocha kodesh baruch hu minasa esa tzadikim. So too, kodesh baruch hu tests the tzadikim. So once again, a third mashal. Who are you going to give the burden to? Are you going to give the burden to the one who cannot carry the burden? They'll drop it for you. What's the point of giving that cow that burden? The cow will fall. The burden, whatever he's carrying, will go all over the road and you'll lose all of the hay or the wheat or whatever's on his back. So you give it to the strong one. You want it to reach its destination. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests the righteous. We're compared to the strong cow. And the footnote says, God tests the righteous for the sake of the world at large. This is the interpretation of the third mashal. God tests the righteous for the sake of the world at large. So in other words, the cow is carrying someone else's burden. So again, the potter with the flask is hitting the clay to show customers how strong his flask is, how strong his vase is. God tests the tzaddik to prove to the world, Elokim nisa es Avram, to prove to the world how strong that tzaddik is. Number one. Number two, the flax worker hits the flask to make it into linen. The more he hits it, the better it becomes. He's only going to hit the flask, the pishlan of high quality. The one of poor quality will just disintegrate. What is the understanding with the tzaddik? Here the test is not for other people, it's for the tzaddik himself. It's to improve him, to strengthen him in his own avodas Hashem. He's beating him to show him how strong you are. And now with the cows, a strong cow and a weak cow. Upon who do you place the burden? You place the burden on the strong cow. That's the one who can carry the burden for you. What is the nimshal here? Rabbi Elazar understands God tests the righteous for the sake of the world at large, so that the merit they incur through their acceptance of suffering will protect their generation from divine punishment. That tzaddik, compared to the strong cow, is carrying the all of the whole world. Their suffering, their burden, will protect the generation from divine punishment. Hence, he compares the tzaddik, the righteous, to a strong cow that bears the burden of the yoke, plowing the field to produce food that will benefit everyone. So in the third mashal, the cow's carrying the strong burden, perhaps he's pulling the wagon, he's pulling the farm, he's plowing the field, it's for the benefit of others. So I just saw something in the Henny Malchus biography. I prepared this madrash at least four times, because every time I think I'm teaching it, I re-prepare. One second. But I actually didn't think of it till I was speaking it out loud. Let me see if Hashem helps me find it very quickly. One second, please. There's something right at the end of the Henny Malchus biography when the author writes that the only thing that gives them nechama is that they understand that Henny being taken so young, I believe she was 54, is a Hashem takes the tzaddikim to save the world. The tzaddikim suffer to save the world. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Okay, I found it. Sarala at the Shloshim. It's a piece. It's called Sarala at the Shloshim. I told Rabbitzin Tarshish the following. By the way, it's the second to last page of the book. On that fateful Erev Shabbos, my children and I were sitting around saying Tehillim after receiving a call that they began to do CPR to save Aunt Henny. And then my husband called with the terrible news that Henny had passed away. I just burst out crying. My kids stood in shock. With all this surge of emotion, I suddenly became afraid. I truly believed Aunt Henny was holding up the world, and without her, it would collapse and cease to exist. I asked Robertson Tarshish, how could it be that the world didn't come crashing down when Aunt Henny passed away? Robertson Tarshish answered me with a story that comforted me so much. The Chofetz Chaim had a son-in-law who died at a very young age. His daughter asked him, there are so many people in this world. Why did Hashem take my husband? The Chofetz Chaim gently answered, quote, it was your husband or a quarter of the world. Rabbitzin Tarshish looked at me and said, it was Henny Malchus, your aunt, or a quarter of the world. This relates to the final example of the cow. The strong cow carries the burden for everybody else. So the suffering of the strong cow, the para yafeh, kocha yafeh, the cow that has a strong strength, a beautiful strength, carries the burden for the whole world. So the quarter of the world's burdens are carried upon the back of that cow. It's to benefit everybody else. As the pasuk says, Hashem tzadik yivchan. Okay, that's one medrash where this is discussed as three different mashalim. I now go to another medrash, also in Medrash Bereishis Rabba. I'm just switching volumes over here, where it is very similar, the teaching, but not exactly the same. So now we go to Medrash Bereishis Rabba, Parasha Nun Hei, okay? Siman Beis. One second, mommy just got up on the screen for you here. Okay, can you see my screen? Can you see Bereishis Rabba Nun Hei? Yeah, okay, very good, thank you. So here we go, new Medrash. There was a comment. Oh, wow. You were right. Very nice. Thank you. It was right at the end. I found that. Okay. Very good. So the Medrash here in Bereishis Rabba Nun Hei Beis, Parsha Nun Hei Siman Beis, again quotes the same pasuk. The teaching is similar, but not exactly the same. Hashem tzadik yivchan v'rasha v'ohev chama sonu nafsho. Hashem tests the tzadik, but he who is a rasha, and he who loves thievery, God despises, his soul despises. Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan says, Hapishtani hazeh, kisha pishtanu loke, eno makish alav bioser. This pishtani, this flax maker, here we begin with the flax, when his flax is inferior, he does not beat it too much. Again, beating is one of the steps to turn flax into linen, but if he knows that it is inferior, eno makish alav bioser, he's not going to hit it so much. Mipnesha hi pokas, because he knows that if he does, it will break immediately. Ukisha pishtano yafeh, but when his flax is of wonderful quality, hu makish alav bioser, he's going to hit it even more. Lama, shehi mishtabachas veholachas, because the more he beats it, the better it will progressively become. It will become more and more and more. Mishtabachas, kach kodesh baruch hu, so to the Almighty. Einom menasa es harishayim, he doesn't test the rishayim. Lama, she'eni cholin na'amod. Oy, a tzaddik could withstand a whole lot of tests. Knesset Yisrael is a lot of tzaddikim. And there are a lot of tests. And we don't understand the workings of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the Medrash is teaching us that just like the flax worker needs to beat the quality flax to make it even better, so too the Ribbono Shel Olam tests the tzaddik. He's not going to test the wicked. They can't take it. They can't withstand. Dichtiv, like the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, v'ha'irasha'im kayam nigrash. This means, but the wicked are like the driven sea that cannot rest. The wicked are always moving and they're not at rest, just like the sea. So there's no point in Hashem testing them. They won't be able to stand it. Excuse me. Ve'as miminasa asat tzadikim shanemar Hashem tzadik yivchan. Hashem will test the righteous. Like ok. The other Medrash brought an example from Avraham Avinu by the Akedah. That's another example of Hashem testing the flax of the righteous. Vayhi achar dvarim ha'ela vatisa eshes adonav eseneha. Who we talking about? Of course, Paraklamites of the Book of Bereishis. Who is being tested here? Yosef, whose last name is Tzaddik. Why should Yosef be tested if his last name is Tzaddik? It's exactly why he should be tested. Because his last name is Tzaddik, the Medrash says, that's why he should be tested. And making him tested makes him more of a Tzaddik. The flax maker is not going to bother beating the weak flax. It will crumble, it will fall. Why should Hashem bother with the Rishayim? But the Tzaddik can withstand the test. Sometimes we think we can't withstand. But the Ribbono Shel Olam apparently knows differently. Hashem knows we can withstand. And putting us through more tests somehow strengthens us. Rabbi Yonasan says, second example, remember, we moved to a different madrash. We're now in Parshon and Hey, Simon Bis. Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Hayotzer Hazeh, this potter. Kishuhu bodek es hakivshan shalo. Eino bodek es hakelim hamiro aim. When this potter tests the strength of what is produced by the kiln, the kivshan ha'esh. And I don't know, the Medrash doesn't say here that it's a reference to Avraham Avinu, but when I hear the word kivshan and what goes into the kivshan comes out stronger, you can't help but think about Avraham Avinu and the first of his 10 tests. It's not in the Torah text, but it's quoted by Rashi to Bereishis 11:28, right? In the Parshas Noach. Rashi tells us that's why it's called Ur Kastim. He was thrown into the fires of Kastim. He was thrown into the kivshan ha'esh, and Avraham escaped unscathed, but he didn't know he was going to escape unscathed at the time that he was thrown in for smashing his father's idols. Avraham Avinu thought he was going to be burned up. He thought he was going to die. When the potter wants to test the strength of what emerges from the kivshan, just like Avraham Avinu, Eino bodek es hakelim hamiro aim. He doesn't test the kelim, the vessels that are weak. One second, I just want to make sure where I'm up to. He doesn't examine Miroaim, is translated by art school as flimsy. He doesn't test the flimsy vessels in the kiln. Lama, what will happen if you put flimsy vessels into the kiln? They'll burn up. She'eino maspik lahakishel av achas ad shu shavro. Because if he even strikes it one time, it's so weak, it's going to break. Umahu bodek, so therefore, what will he test? Bekan kanim birurim. He will test the flax that are firm, that are strong. Shafiduhu mekish alav kama pa'anim pa'amim eno shavo, because no matter how many times, I guess how many times, but a number of times, he could hit the flasks, what comes out of the kiln, they're not going to break. Kach. So too, Almighty does not test the wicked. And you know, we look around the world and we see that, and it's a question that Moshe Rabbeinu asked. Why do the Rishayim prosper? Why do the Tzaddikim suffer? And this is not a question that we came up with in Tafshin Pei Aleph, or last year, or the year before, or 5 years ago. It's a question from ancient times. You don't understand. But the Medrash is teaching us that just like Hashem tests different materials, A, to prove to the world, the customers, that they're strong, B, to strengthen the person themselves, C, to carry the burden of the generation. Sometimes it's necessary, we don't know the cheshbonos of the Ribbono Shel Olam, to test the righteous for one of these three reasons. Where am I up to? Kach ein kosh berchu min asas or shaim ela as a tzadikim. Shanema Hashem tzadik yivchan. Ama Rabbi Elazar, labal habayis shahayelo shtei paros, achas kocha yafa va achas kocha ra'a. Rabbi Elazar says this can be compared to bal habayis. He had two cows. One of them, her strength was good, and one of them, her strength was bad. Amihu no sein esha'ol. Who is going to carry the burden? Lo aloso shekocho yafa, isn't it upon the cow that has a lot of strength? Kach ena kosh baruch hu menasa ela hatzadikim. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only tests the tzaddikim, shenemar, Hashem tzaddik yivcha. And like the pasuk says, Hashem tests the righteous. So those were the two midrashim that we saw. They were similar, but not exactly the same. There was differences in order, by the way. One referenced Avraham Avinu, one referenced Yosef HaTzadik. But so there are different purposes for our test, and we can see the divine plan. I'm now going to quote from the Art Scroll of Medrash Rabbah. Okay? Several commentators offer explanations as to why it was necessary for the Medrash to use three parables to convey what seems to be a single thought. The single thought, you know the old mashal they say about the egg? If you put an egg into water, it becomes boiling water. I don't remember the exact words of the mashal, but if you put the egg into boiling water, what happens to the egg? It doesn't fall apart, it just gets stronger. So that's really what the Medrash is saying here, that so too the Jew, the more you boil the water. In fact, the mashal, the second text of the Medrash used the word kivshan. The hotter the fire gets, the stronger the Jew gets. Someone tomorrow night is sponsoring the Pirkei Avos Shir Thursday night in memory of, there's so much going on, sometimes we forget. A memory of her family, her mother's family members who were taken to Auschwitz from Hungary on Shavuos. Shavuos is the day that they arrived in Auschwitz. And when we talk about this Kivshan, we're not talking about only in days of Avraham Avinu. And we're not only talking about today, the fires that are raging and burning and it's out of control. It's Eretz HaKodesh, it's Arlan, that's Eretz Chemda. Whose land is this? Rashi to Bereishis Wamad. These tests somehow strengthen our people, even though we do not understand. We have to have the Amunah. Please don't let me lose my Amunah. Anatomy of a test. The Nitziv. I'm not quoting from the Ha'emek Davar Insight. I'm quoting from the Art School Medrash commentary. The Nitziv, the Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Miberlin. The Nitziv explains the Medrash provides three parables to illustrate that God's test of the righteous come in three different forms. Now, there's also an expression, Hashem, don't love me so much. But the Medrash is really teaching us that the ones who Hashem loves are the ones who are tested because they can withstand. The ones who are not tested cannot withstand and do not become stronger. The parable of the potter who examines his flasks to test the quality of his kiln represents the plain meaning of God's testing the righteous to ascertain the strength and degree of their righteousness. What goes into the kiln will become stronger when it comes out or weaker. Avraham Avinu was thrown into the Kivshan Eish. Did he become stronger or did he become weaker? Obviously, he became stronger until the climax of Kachnes Bincha, which the Medrash quotes. And then Hashem now I know you're God-fearing. Look how much you love me. Look what you were willing to do for me. The more I tested you, the stronger you became. However, there are additional purposes of testing as well. So the one is the Pshah. You put it into the kiln, it becomes stronger. The parable, if you ever did pottery painting with your kids on Chol HaMoed or any other time or on a trip as an activity, so they tell you it needs 2 weeks. What do they have to do with it? They have to put it into the kiln. Then you come back. However, there are additional purposes of testing as well. The parable of the flax maker who beats his flax for the purpose of improving it represents the test. Remember, this is based on the Nitziv, in which God seeks to elevate the righteous by putting them through trials and tribulations. Because only by turning one's potential for righteousness into a performance of righteousness can it be fully ingrained as part of its composition. So you could say, one could say, I have a lot of amunah. One could say, I love Hashem. One could say, of course I could pass all the tests Hashem gives me. One could say, I would do anything for God. That is potential for righteousness. It's all very well and good. But it's not enough. A person has to put into actuality. A person needs to prove. Remember the first piece of the Medrash ended was, what should a person do? You should put his... that was my other shir. Sorry, that was my shir before this. You should put your betachon in Hashem. It was the famous Ibn Ezra, no sachmor. He concludes by saying, a person will never covet what anybody else has if he puts his betachon in Hashem and knows Hashem gives him what he wants. It really relates to this piece that we're learning here. You put your bitachon in Hashem, Hashem gives you what you need, then you're going to be stronger. But it's not enough to have potential for righteousness. Hashem puts us through trials and tribulations to change that potential into a performance of righteousness. Only then could that tzidkus be fully ingrained as part of your composition. Once ingrained, in him and his offspring. He is naturally able to maintain this level of devotion in the future. Furthermore, he can pass it on to future generations. So it's not enough to say, I have emunah. I have to prove that I have emunah. It's easy to say, I love God when everything is easy in life. I heard Miriam Parrott say, I heard her say when she spoke in Woodmere years ago before I ever read her book. I heard her say, I give thanks to God. I love God. I love God very much. That's what she said. It's very easy to say that if you don't have two sons dying under Herzl and your husband was died of a broken heart, she says, between at the age of 56, between the death of one son and the death of the other son. So I could also say I love God very much. Hashem should never test me. But the Medrash is saying, you have to turn your potential for righteousness into a performance of righteousness. When Hashem gives me nisyonos, do I still love him? Do I still have emunah? Do I still daven with kavana? Do I still give him my brachos? Do I still do the mitzvos? Or do I say it's over? Finally, in the parable of the owner of the two cows who places the heavy burden on the stronger one, it's not done for the sake of the cow to test its ability or to strengthen it, like the first two mashalim, but rather it's for the owner's own need. The owner has a need. The owner has a burden, and he needs someone to carry that burden. In this situation, he will increase the burden on the stronger cow as much as possible. And then he will reward it with more food in proportion to the increased load. Similarly, the righteous must often be tested with suffering to atone for the sins of the generation. Since God, you know, when you read about the Niftarim and Meiron, B'nai Torah, Ahavei Torah, pure neshamos, children, 63 misomim who total lost fathers in Meiron. The boy from Cleveland, Cohn, Yossi Cohn, not Cleveland, Detroit, Cleveland. Yossi Cohn, his father was nifted when he was only 7 years old. His mother raised 9 children. He was only 21. He was killed in Meiron. I knew about the chesed. And then Tziv explains that the righteous are like the strong cow, the beautiful cow, the shamein cow. And God knows that their extraordinary righteousness and unwavering faith can withstand the test of suffering. And so, they're carrying the burden on behalf of others. Like Chafetz Chaim said to his son-in-law, which is what Rabbitson Tarshish told Henny's niece. Just want to make sure I quote it correctly. The Chafetz Chaim answered his daughter-in-law, and he said, it was your husband or a quarter of the world. Rabbitson Tarshish looked at me and she said, it was Henny Machlis, your aunt, or a quarter of the world. And that's the final mashal, that's the cow. They can withstand the test of such suffering, but ultimately they are rewarded in kind for their suffering on behalf of others. So it's three mashalim that look the same, but there's three very different messages. Hashem is testing them to strengthen them. Hashem is testing them to show others how strong they are. Hashem tests them because they suffer for the sins of the generation. You know, one of my children told me, they came home yesterday, I was so disturbed, I remain so disturbed. One of the children came home yesterday and said that in the classroom, the other children were saying, they're, you know, bombing Tel Aviv. So the instructor said, it's their fault. Meaning in Tel Aviv, it's their fault because they're not religious. I was actually horrified that someone today could have the audacity. The chutzpah. I'm not talking about it's not Gadol Dor. And I don't even think the Gadolei Hador purport to know the Cheshbonos of the Ribono Shel Olam. That someone could say why another Yid is suffering? I should say why they're suffering? Why they're spending the night in bomb shelters? A tzaddik is held to higher standards. Maybe it's my Lash and her that I spoke 2 days ago that made a missile climb to Tel Aviv. Maybe they're a Tinuk Shanishba. Maybe they don't know better. Maybe God has things that I don't know about. Someone has the audacity to stand up in front of a classroom from our comfort of the five towns and pass cheshbonos on the Yidden who are suffering in Eretz Yisrael. That's not why they suffer, says the Medrash. They're either suffering to strengthen themselves, to prove the world to their devotion, or they're carrying the burden of the generation. That means it's my problem that there's missiles. It's my sinus chinam. It's my failing and benching not properly with Kavani. It's my Lashon Hara. I should say, because in Tel Aviv they deserve it. Who could stand up today and say such a bad guy? Are you God? That's not why they suffer, says the Medrash. If anything, they're carrying the burden of your sin. They're the tzaddik. It's a word I tell over every alol. You probably heard me say it before. I'll screen share, actually. It's a word I tell over every alol and a serasimi teshuva. But this is what I thought of when this child came home. The child was very upset and said that this instructor said this about Eretz Yisrael. Yonah is supposed to go to Nineveh and tell the people to do teshuva. Could you see my screen? And Yonah gets up and he's going to Tarshish. Thanks, I'm running away from you, God. And he goes to Yafo and he finds a ship that's going to Tarshish. I think it's very cool that a millennia ago, Yafo was a port city. And he's going to sail to Tarshish and he pays his fare. He goes down to the ship. Thank you very much. There's a gigantic storm over the sea, over that ship, and that ship's about to break up. And Chazal say, amazing, all the other ships on the Mediterranean were sailing in calm waters. Only that ship was under a storm. Vayu ha-malachim, and the sailors are very afraid. By the way, cool Torah trivia, because you know I love Lashon HaKodesh. The reason the sailors are called malachim from the root word salt, mem lamed ches, is because they sail the salty seas and they catch fish on the salty sea, salty fish. Very interesting. Okay, not really the point of the shir, but Torah and Tanakh and Lashon HaKodesh are amazing. And everyone starts calling out to their own Avodah Zarah. Vayizaku ish el Elohav. They all call out to their Avodah Zarah. This one's calling to Zeus God, and that one's calling to Sun God, and that one's calling to Sea God, and that one's calling to Nilus River God, and that one's calling to the Moon God. And they start to throw their wares over the ship. They want to make it lighter. There's a storm. There's missiles incoming. There's an air raid siren. Find shelter. There's a direct strike. There's balloon terror in the south. There's a near lynching outside of the old city. And Yonah goes to sleep. So the captain comes and he says, what are you doing? Wake up. Malachan yirdom, you're in a slumber. One of the reasons we read this on Yom Kippur. You're sleeping? Get up, call to your God. We're all calling to our gods. Maybe God will turn to us and we won't be destroyed. So they say, we have to draw goralos. We're going to draw lots and we're going to see whose fault this is. So it comes out taka, it falls out on Yonah. Vayipol ha-goral, Yonah. So they come to him and they say, listen, sir, please tell us, why is this bad thing happening to us? What's your work? Where are you coming from? What's your land? What nation are you from? So he says, you know, I'm a tzaddik. Ivri anuch, I'm a Hebrew. I fear God. The people are very afraid. What have you done to us? They know he's running away from Hashem. What should we do? We want the sea to subside from this storm. The sea is storming and going. So he says, you know what you should do? Pick me up and throw me into the sea. And the sea will be quiet from upon you. If you get me off the ship, the storm will stop. Ki yodea ani, ki vishali hasadar hasa'ar hagodol hazeh aleichem. I know that because of me, this great tempest has befallen you. In the early 1950s, it came to Brisker Rav, the son of Rav Chaim Brisker, zecher tzadikim uklosim levrecha, the Grizz. He said to the Brisker Rav, there's so many problems in Israel. Newfound state, it was very new. There's so many problems here. Security, people are starving, terrorism. He said it's because of all the Chilul Shabbos on the state level. Everyone's here is Mechallel Shabbat. And it's true. If you read the history books, I've read many of them. The Shomrei Tzair Kibbutzim were totally not religious. And they came to the Brisker Rav and they said, I mean, totally not religious, I mean eating on Yom Kippur, not religious. So they blamed the Chilul Shabbat. So Brisker Rav said, let me answer you from Sefer Yonah. Yonah was the only guy in the ship who believed in God. In fact, he calls himself Ivri Anochi. Avram was an Ivri, because the Medrash says Avram was on one side hashkafically, and the whole world was on the other side. This is evocative and intentional. It's from Tanakh, of course, that he's also an Ivri. That means I'm on one side hashkafically, the whole world's on the other. I'm the only guy who's a Yirei Shemayim. He says that. Okay, Shemayim, and Yirei, I, if you're Shemayim, you're Ovdei Avodah Zarah. You know why there's a storm? Because you're Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Of course there's a storm. It's the people in Tel Aviv's fault. If they wouldn't be with tattoos and secular, then we wouldn't have missiles. You know what Yonah says? If you've heard me tell this over, then you remember from Elul. And I know I tell it over. I don't usually tell it over mid-year. But I could not believe that somebody from the comfort, not running from the bomb shelter, not hiding from the missiles, not afraid from his life, has the audacity to stand up in the five towns and say it's their fault. The Medrash says, Ribon Shom, test the tzaddikim, they're carrying our burden. So I could be comfortable there in bomb shelters. Maybe it's my Lashon Hara that was missile number 28. It's their fault. Do you know the cheshbonos of God? Their flax that's so strong, Hashem beats it. So the Brisker Rav says, you're blaming their Chilul Shabbos? What does Yonah say? Ki yodea ani, ki vishali, hasar ha-gadol hazeh leichem. It's true, hasar gadol leichem. It's true, you're enduring the storm, but it's because of me. It's because of me. They throw him overboard. He's swallowed by a whale. When we see the righteous suffering, we have to ask if they're carrying our burden. The third mashal of the cow is that they're carrying the burden of the whole world. It's either honey or a quarter of the world. Hashem finds the strongest animal and he gives it the all of the whole generation. And it's a wake-up call. Meiron, terror attack last week. People didn't even realize because of Meiron in the news. Yehuda Guetta, 19 years old, has to yeshiva student, was killed last week. Shot in the head. Eretz Yisrael today is in flames. The tzaddikim are tested to show the customer how strong the pottery is, to strengthen the flask and bring his potential to actual, and finally because they carry the burden of the whole world. Do you know why the rockets are being fired? If you're not there, Ribono Shel Olam, you don't know why. But one thing I could guarantee you, it's audacious to stand up and play God, to say it's their fault. Said the Brisker Rav, you know whose fault it was? It's my fault, said Yonah. The tzaddikim are held to a higher standard. Maybe someone who's Shomer Shabbos is held to a higher standard. Maybe they're carrying the burden of the generation. Maybe they're the tzaddik. And that's why they're suffering. So when we see the terrible suffering around us and we don't understand, the Medrash tells us Hashem has his cheshbonos. You're right, you don't understand. The Chazal give us these mashalim to help us a little bit make some sense of what we see. The testing proves to the world how strong Knesset Yisrael is. The testing strengthens the person themselves, like the flask. And finally, the one who is tested is carrying the burden for everybody else. So next time, I'm not saying anyone here wants to blame somebody for any sign and say, it's your own fault. Remember well the courage of Yonah to say, what do I need to change? Perhaps he's carrying my burden. It's because of me. Ribono Shel Olam, help us. Ribono Shel Olam should help us to be as strong as we already need to be. Ad Masai. It's enough burdens. Should be zocha to the ultimate binyan already. Geula Shleima. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos, a meaningful and uplifting Zman Matan Torah Seinu, and then Hashem of Miriam Fod, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaHasham, Shomeret Anali and the Schus of the Torah that we share this evening. I thank everyone for taking the time to join. Have a lovely evening. A Besuras Tovos. Thank you. Kol Tov to all.